I'm Anu Baca, a computing science sophomore at Jacksonville University. Today we have an exceptional guest who brings a wealth of expertise to the table. Joining us is Shane Sims, a distinguished expert in the world of cybersecurity and national and global security. Mr. Sims' extensive background includes investigating cyber threats, protecting trade secrets, and collaborating with government agencies. But we'll get to all of that in just a moment. Mr. Sims, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Glad to be here. Really appreciate it.
So now that we've set the stage, let's dive into Shane Sims' remarkable journey. Mr. Sims, I'd love to hear how your academic studies influenced your entire career path and ultimately led you to the position of CEO at a global cybersecurity company.
That could be a long story. I'll try to keep it short. But yeah, I mean, I'm a computer science major originally from an undergraduate perspective. At that time, there really wasn't cyber, right? This is before the internet, before the word cyber had been coined. So computer science majors back in my day were really pursuing careers in programming. I realized during my studies that I was not going to have a very good future in programming. I just wasn't very good at it. So I chose the business side of computers after I graduated. So when I was 24, I started a very small company in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, focused on data security. We really were helping large clients monitor their networks, implement data encryption technologies. And then the third leg of the security stool back then was access management. So we did all three of those things. Companies outsourced that work to us. The company grew fairly rapidly over a 9 to 10 year period. You know, as I started to get around 30 years old, I had always thought about joining the FBI as a young guy. So I decided to just throw my application in the hat, see what happens. I'll keep focusing on this data security company, but we'll see where that application takes me. After about 2 years, I got the job. Very fortunate, because I think the stats even today are less than 1% of the applicants actually get the job of a special agent. So I couldn't turn it down, right? I had to give it a shot. So that really sent me into a whole nother phase of my career, and I'm happy to talk about that as well.
That is very cool. I'm very eager to learn from your experiences. So now let's transition to a broader perspective. Can you enlighten us with some compelling statistics about cybercrime today?
Absolutely. There are some very interesting stats out there right now as it relates to cybercrime. One that kind of blows my mind is that by 2025, the global cybercrime damage is predicted to hit $10.5 trillion annually. And that's really hard to get your mind around. And then on the defensive side of cybersecurity, the predictions are that by 2025, organizations will exceed $1.75 trillion in spending on cybersecurity. That is really unprecedented at a time when the world will need to protect over 200 zettabytes of data. So this is not going away, right? The world is interconnected. There's only going to be more systems and more data. The criminal element in the world will continue to target those systems and that data.
Cybercrime is indeed a pressing issue in today's digital landscape. Now, shifting gears a bit, I actually watched one of your previous podcasts online, and I learned you were involved in an undercover hacker team. I thought that was super captivating. Could you please share it with us again?
Sure. I did mention I was in the FBI, special agent for 10 years. We started to form cybercrime squads and field offices all over the country right around 1999 or 2000. The field office I was assigned to formed one of the first cybercrime squads. So we were doing a lot of online undercover operations. I've probably done thousands of, you know, online undercover contact, but the case you're referencing here was actually a face-to-face undercover operation. So we infiltrated a hacker group. I was the undercover agent. They were stealing trade secrets from, you know, businesses. And what really got our attention was when they approached a government defense contractor and told them they had their data, and they were trying to extort the contractor for something that would allow them to gain financially. So at that point, we had to figure out what we were going to do, what kind of case we were going to open. And we chose the undercover route. And for whatever reason, I got selected to be that person, which is kind of strange because I remember when I took that job, I said, I'm open to do anything. I'll do whatever they want me to do, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to learn everything I can. But the one thing I will not do is work undercover. So here I am working undercover, wearing a wire, so they say, you know, an actual body recorder. So when I'm interacting with cybercrime group that I had infiltrated, I'm recording everything that they're saying. So that whole operation took about a year.
That is very fascinating. Now, for budding cybersecurity enthusiasts, what cybersecurity skills are currently in demand?
I think every cybersecurity skill is in demand. It's an unbelievable time right now if you're majoring in cybersecurity or some related degree. I think the stats are 3.5 million open jobs globally for people that have, you know, these degrees and these skills. What's important, though, for employers, whether it's a company like mine, which is a consulting firm that provides professional services, if you're a cybersecurity product company where you're building technology, or you're a government agency, everyone's looking for graduates who can hit the ground running, right, that have some skills that they can apply immediately out of the gate. Some of the skills that are hot right now are security analyst roles. So one of the most important cybersecurity controls out there is 24/7 continuous monitoring of all devices at an organization. So having experience with any of those products that companies would deploy to allow them to monitor their systems and data would be helpful. There's also skills around programming, right? If you have, let's say, any kind of scripting ability, whether it's Python or anything else, there's a lot of scripting that gets done, like custom programs that help security analysts automate things so they don't have to do repetitive tasks. So the programming behind the scenes of an analyst role is a pretty hot commodity right now. You might hear terms like intelligent automation or artificial intelligence, but at the end of the day, it's still programming that's happening.
Wow, that is really, really cool. Now let's bring it back to the present. Could you please tell us a little bit about your current role as Qiwu's CEO?
Yep, happy to do it. So after the FBI, I took a position with PricewaterhouseCoopers, ended up becoming a partner in the firm there. I built the cybercrime and data breach incident response service business there, grew that over an eight-year period, then was recruited by a competitor called KPMG. I was a partner there for a number of years, and as I started to reach the retirement years, I was approached by the investors of a smaller cybersecurity company that had been around since 2009 called Qiwu, K-I-V-U. They were looking for their next CEO. So the timing was starting to align, right? I was eligible to retire from KPMG. There was this interesting opportunity, pretty much aligned to everything I had done in my career. So I felt like the time was right. So I've been the CEO of Qiwu since May of 2022. We have offices in London, Denver, and San Francisco. We have people based in those offices, but since the pandemic, we're primarily a work-from-anywhere culture. We do have digital forensics labs in Denver and London, and we have clients on literally every continent.
Well, in that case, what are some services that Qiwu offers?
You know, we organize our business and our professional services into three categories. The first one are advisory services. So everything from helping companies identify their vulnerabilities to conducting penetration tests. So we get hired by some of the biggest companies in the world down to the smallest companies to conduct an offensive cyber attack against them to see if we can access their systems and data. So that's a couple of examples of some proactive advisory services. We help them with compliance issues. So depending on what industry your company may be in, there could be any number of standards or regulations or legislation that you have to comply with. That's the softer side of cybersecurity, but it's actually a skill. We were talking about skills earlier that will continue to be in high demand. We also offer continuous 24/7 monitoring for our clients. So we monitor for cyber threats, and when we see them, we block them immediately. That's referred to as managed security. And then we do a lot of incident response. So our clients get attacked, they call us, right? They send up the bat signal. We deploy people. We help them figure out how they got in, what systems and data were impacted, how do we contain the incident, and then help them do things to drive down that risk in the future.
Finally, as we wrap up our conversation, what advice do you have for students like myself who are interested and excited to enter the cybersecurity field?
Well, I think the most important thing you can do is when you get that first job is just being open-minded, you know, being a team player, be willing to do anything they need you to do, but also extracting out of your employer a career path that allows you to get the skills that are of interest to you. Because at some point you will progress in your career beyond the technical skills space into leadership roles. So the more diverse you can be in the earlier years will help you sort of find that channel that you're going to focus on in your later career. So I think diversity right out of the gate from a skills perspective will help everyone.
Thank you for that, Mr. Sims. And there you have it, everyone. We've had the privilege of gaining incredible insight from the Shane Sims. Mr. Sims, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, experiences, and stories with us.